Welcome to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. In the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, it's worth asking whether we're giving up more and more of our religious freedoms or religious liberties to a government that in many cases is telling us what we can and cannot do, even respecting our freedom of worship. These are things that we need to think about critically. And I think that's one of the primary reasons that I am so excited about Free to Believe, the battle over religious liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. Luke addresses three primary needs. First, the fact that you and I need a theology of religious freedom. We need to know how to think about religious freedom theologically. Too often we begin thinking about religious freedom as a legal, a cultural, a political problem without first recognizing that its roots are theological. There's so much in Scripture that pertains to religious freedom. Secondly, we need to understand the unique religious freedom challenges that we face. And even as I just alluded to, that we face in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, we ought not to too uncritically cede power to a government, to a secular institution, encroaching upon the liberty of the church. Our challenges today are different from the religious challenges, well, maybe even 10 or 15 years ago, but we cannot avoid being prepared. We need to understand what our challenges are. And today, five of the most pressing religious freedom challenges, as Luke Goodrich points out, have to do with religious discrimination, abortion rights, gay rights, Islam, and the public square. And then finally, you and I need to take action. Our faith is not a set of abstract principles. This is a calling. This is a calling that covers every single aspect of our lives. American Christians haven't faced serious violations of their religious freedom for quite some time. We are now faced with that very specter. And we have to consider how much of Scripture was written to Christians who were in the exact same boat. To live our faith in a modern culture, we need to reclaim, we need to reacquaint ourselves with what Scripture says to a persecuted church. You know, Jesus said, in this world you will suffer persecution, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So we shouldn't be surprised at persecution, but we ought to know how we are to live in the midst of it. Free to Believe, the battle over religious liberty in America, available for those who support the ministry. Your copy available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Carol in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm calling for my 13-year-old son. He's almost 14. And he was saved, accepted Christ when he was 9 years old. But he struggles with knowing that he's saved, the assurance and peace that he's saved, and that he can't lose his salvation. the only thing I can tell him is to pray and ask the Lord to give him that peace that he saved. And he says he prays and prays and prays and asks the Lord to reveal himself to him, but he doesn't get any answers. He doesn't feel like he hears from God. And he has a discipline of daily praying and talking to God and reading his Bible. And I just keep trying to, you know, telling him, if, you know, the Bible says, seek him with all your heart and you will find him, but it's not enough to satisfy him. And I was wondering if you have any idea what I can say to him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love the description of your son as someone who is similar to what is described in the Psalms as someone who pants after God as the deer pants after the water brooks. That's a very, very good thing. Now, one of the things that's so important is that you explain to your son that salvation is not punctiliar, meaning it's not a point in time. Rather, salvation is a process. We're saved, we're being saved, we will be saved, and that means that we're never saved in isolation, but we're always saved within the context of the church, which is the body of Christ, and which is the ground and pillar of truth. It is the reservoir by which our thirst is quenched. For in the church, we receive the graces that transform us. Now, by way of analogy, Carol, you have a relationship with your son. Your son loves you. You're interacting with your son. That's very clear from the prologue to your question. And so as you interact with your son, your relationship deepens over time. If you were to avoid your son, that relationship would grow rather tepid and cold. But you're nurturing that relationship. Well, that's precisely what happens within the context of the body of Christ. Within the church, we receive graces that transform us. And that's the process that I'm talking about. So, for example, when you partake of the Eucharist, when you partake of the body and blood of Christ, you are energized. You're energized by a power that is in you, but not of you. St. Gregory Palamas, he was talking about how when a pot is in the kiln, it shares the very life of the fire. It takes on its hot and burning qualities. It becomes capable of transferring that very energy to something else. But if it's removed from the fire, the pot still participates in the fire's effects, but it no longer participates in the energies of the fire itself. Now, the participation in the energies of the fire is the truer participation than the participation in the effects. And thus, while all God's children participate in the effects of their Creator, not all participate in God's very life. That is reserved for the saints in the church who have God not only as Maker, but also as Father through divine adoption. And I say all of that simply to underscore the importance of not only praying, which is wonderful. I'm so glad that your son has a prayer life. But it's also participating within the church week by week, because it's in the church that you're nurtured and fed. You grow. You grow not in isolation, but you grow just as you would in a family, but in an extended family, the family of God. So all of this is a matter of taking part in the principles that are provided for us, in the principle of prayer, in the principle of reading the Bible, in the principle of partaking of the Eucharist, in the principle of being an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Cumulatively, all of that enhances the relationship, the passion, and really the feeling that we have. The feeling of love that grows ever stronger as we participate in all of these wonderful disciplines that God provides us within the spiritual gymnasium, which is the church. We're coming up to a station break. Do want to mention before we go to break that my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, a lot of what I was just talking about with Carol, found in that book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And it is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org, or you can write me as always at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We're apart from the truth kept by the whole church, our faith would be uncertain. But the life that matters more, while not a prohibition on truth, it is the transcending of truth, the transcending of all philosophical speculation. It is the experience of union with God, fellowship in the Holy Trinity. Check it out on the web, equip.org. We will be right back.
Many Americans think religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing around them and fear that their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In his book, Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich challenges both sides of this debate, offering a fresh perspective on the most controversial religious freedom conflicts today. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Many Americans feel their religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing and fear their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich combines frontline experience with faithful attention to Scripture to show why religious freedom matters, how it is threatened, and how to protect it. With penetrating insights on gay rights, abortion, Islam, and the public square, Goodrich argues that threats to religious freedom are real, but they might not be quite what you think. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
In Free to Believe, Luke Goodrich, a leading religious freedom attorney and veteran of multiple Supreme Court battles, equips Christians to understand religious liberty in our rapidly changing culture. In clear and compelling prose, he explains why it matters, how it is threatened, and how to respond with confidence and grace. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Here again now is the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to our phone callers, Nancy in Pennsylvania. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Hank. Nice talking to you again. I just found out that a friend of mine is a member of Rodney Howard Brown, one of his satellite church. And I looked into his statement of faith, and it seems like he believes in the essentials, but I know that he's into a lot of heresy. If he believes in the essentials, how does that make his ministry a cult, and how can I explain that to my friend?
Well, I think it's cultic for sure, and I don't think that he holds to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, because what he does is he uses the Christian words, but he pours his own meaning into those words. And from a sociological standpoint, I think he's a very dangerous person. I wrote a book called Counterfeit Revival, and Rodney Howard Brown is prominently featured in that book. There are so many false prophecies that he makes. He has prophesied that people by the droves were going to jump out of wheelchairs. People were going to be raised from the dead. But the reality is, as the Holy Ghost bartender or the Holy Ghost hitman, as he prefers to call himself, and I was the subject of one of his tirades in a church in Southern California, which is a story in and of itself, but as the Holy Ghost bartender, he is using the power of suggestion to create placebos for psychosomatic symptoms and sickness. In truth, there's nothing supernatural about what he does. He uses the magic of mental manipulation. And so he is constantly beguiling and deceiving his devotees. He's an unreliable teacher and, as I would say, cultic. I wouldn't necessarily say that what he has is a cult, but certainly from a sociological standpoint, he is a counterfeit of the genuine article. He has unreliable revelations that can't be trusted. He uses linguistic subversion, theological perversion, and sociological deviance that I think is very, very terrifying. I saw it firsthand over a long period of time, and that is why he's included my book, Counterfeit Revival.
Okay. And so in that case, what would happen to if the Lord comes to my friend, we don't know how God would judge them, but can you give me an idea that, she won't be lost if she's naive to it?
Well, I don't think it's the absence of truth that damns. It's despising of truth that damns. But having said that, I think it's important for you as a friend to let her know that she is in the context of a very unhealthy body, a body in which the pastor is using socio-psychological manipulation tactics to lure the devotees to all kinds of false paradigms of spirituality.
Okay, well, thank you so much. You helped me a lot.
You got it. Chris, next in Seattle, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. I have a question here, and I've listened to you for a long time, and I must disclose that I became Catholic in 2017, which I think is the same year you converted to Orthodoxy. And one of my first steps upon my journey was I listened to a debate that you facilitated between Jimmy Akin, who I know you guys are friends, and James White. And I'm just curious, what is your take on Sola Scriptura now as an Orthodox Christian, and do you think it's biblical?
Well, look, I think one of the ways that I would attack that question is to go back to Irenaeus. The reason I do that is he is one of the great apologists in church history. In the early Christian church, he was one of the first. And one of the most significant apologetic tomes in church history was penned by Irenaeus against heretics, or heresies, I should say. And what he does in that tome is he does not respond to the heresy of Gnosticism with the Sola Scriptura argument, but in refuting the Gnostic heresy, he argues that you can go all the way back to an unbroken apostolic succession, and you find nothing whatsoever in the teachings of the early church that give credibility to the silly doctrines of the Gnostics. So for Irenaeus, the sacred commission of the apostolic fathers was the proper transmission of apostolic tradition from one generation to the next, from the holy fathers onward to the Eucharistic assembly of every local church in every successive generation. Now, here's what I think. I think all too often people set Scripture over against holy tradition, failing to recognize that holy tradition gave a Scripture. And so the holy tradition of the apostolic fathers was never considered an independent instance. It was a complementary source of faith. Ecclesiastical understanding could never add anything to Scripture, but it was the only means to ascertain and to disclose the true meaning of Scripture. So tradition was, in fact, the authentic interpretation of Scripture, and in that sense, it's coextensive with Scripture. Tradition, therefore, becomes Scripture rightly understood. And I think this is really important because how did we get the Bible? We got the Bible because, as Paul said, the church is the ground and pillar of truth. And it is through the church that we have the Scriptures. You have to remember, at the time of Irenaeus, they didn't have a corpus of Scripture that we now call the canon of the New Testament. That came into being over a process of time. Wasn't formally codified until 367 by Athanasius the Great. You know, Athanasius, who stood against the Arians. So I think oftentimes we become dichotomaniacs. You know, we make a false dichotomy that isn't necessary. And in this case, I don't think is particularly helpful. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Charles in Dexter, Missouri, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good.
I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I listen to your program.
Thank you.
Not every day. First, I'd like to say that I'll be praying for you that the Lord's will be done in your life. My question for you, Hank, is the other day I was driving down the road, I thought I heard you say that there was no rapture. Am I incorrect in that, or did I actually hear you say that?
Well, I would say that there's no basis biblically for a pre-tribulational rapture. There's not a single passage in Scripture that speaks of Jesus coming to rapture the church 7 years prior to his second appearing. In fact, our Lord's own words negate the very notion. Jesus said, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So the plain and literal sense of our Lord's word suggests a moment in the future when both the righteous and the unrighteous are going to be resurrected and judged together. Now, the notion that some believers will come out of their graves at the rapture and others 107 years later, is clearly an imposition on the biblical text. And I would say, furthermore, that there's no biblical basis for a coming a seven-year tribulation during which the vast majority of Jews are going to die. That, of course, is not to suggest that the Jews have not faced tribulation in the past. I think, for example, the terrible seven-year tribulation suffered by the Jews under the beastly reign of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. But the reality is there's no warrant whatsoever to take what happened under the Old Testament Antichrist or in the first century with the beast of Revelation and then transport that into the 21st century and then think that, well, the Christians are going to get raptured and the Jews are going to get bludgeoned, two-thirds of them are going to die in a Holocaust that exceeds anything that's ever happened to them in their history. I've written about this in the book titled The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. Also have an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated on pre-tribulational rapture and many other answers to many other questions. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Many Americans feel their religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing and fear their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich combines frontline experience with faithful attention to Scripture to show why religious freedom matters, how it is threatened, and how to protect it. With penetrating insights on gay rights, abortion, Islam, and the public square, Goodrich argues that threats to religious freedom are real, but they might not be quite what you think. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.